Direct government assistance to the poor, the sick, and the mentally ill has been cut back for decades, and social services have essentially been privatized. They're now focused on the well-meaning goal of helping people help themselves, but that's harder than it sounds. Now, the LAPD has been recruited for what Forrest Stewart calls therapeutic policing. He's an assistant professor of sociology at the University of Chicago, and after those 5 years of intimate research on Skid Row, he describes it in a new book called Down, Out, and Under Arrest. Forrest Stewart, welcome to our program.
Thank you. It's great to talk to you.
What is therapeutic policing?
Yeah, so therapeutic policing, in a nutshell, is using police tools, these kind of coercive, violent tools, things like handcuffs, batons, tasers, the power to arrest, the power to give citations, to essentially coerce poor folks and homeless folks to get their lives back on track, to go get jobs, to get themselves into housing, to stop using drugs, to put down the bottle.
And what happens to them if they don't?
Well, if they don't, we use those citations and we use those arrests to punish them. So police give them, you know, constant tickets, so things for jaywalking, for blocking the sidewalk. They're arrested for sitting on the sidewalk, which is an arrestable offense in Los Angeles. A lot of people don't know. And for the police, the thought is, you know, the more uncomfortable we make people living on the streets and living in poverty, the more, I guess, motivation they'll feel to get their lives back together.
So how do the residents of Skid Row respond to therapeutic policing?
Oh, I mean, the residents are suffering. I think that's the kind of takeaway. You know, whatever the motivations are for someone giving out hundreds of dollars in citations, that's still hundreds of dollars in citations. Whatever motivation someone has for arresting someone for a misdemeanor, for sitting on the sidewalk, it still feels like harassment. It still feels like repression. It still feels like attacks by police.
Do people actually go to jail for sitting on the sidewalk?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, for quite a while now, the LAPD has been sending out kind of fleets of officers and essentially with vans and sweeping the sidewalks, using batons to kind of rattle on tents, and they'll scoop people up, put them into handcuffs, and take them down to the station. It's a misdemeanor.
You talk to a lot of Skid Row residents about how they feel about this, once again, over a long period of time. You also talk to a lot of cops.
Right. Right.
How do they feel?
You know, the cops, in those 5 years, I've grown more critical of this style of policing, but I've also grown more sympathetic to officers. And officers will be some of the first to tell you, you know, like, I'm not the Department of Social Services. I'm not a caseworker. I'm not a social worker. I don't know what else to do, right? Like, I'm sympathetic to this veteran who served in Iraq, but I don't know what to do except for arrest him. These are the only tools that I have. And hopefully, something will happen down the line where this guy will be able to get himself straight.
So how did this get started? And what is it supposed to do as far as those who are implementing it are concerned, not the cops themselves, but the people who put the policies into effect?
Right. So one of the really interesting aspects of the story is that a lot of these very aggressive policing policies have often been authored and co-designed by a lot of nonprofit organizations. These nonprofits, they need clients, and they want, right, the streets and sidewalks out in front of their organizations to be clear of what they typically refer to as temptations. So it turns out that some of the organizations who are trying to do the most help are also some of the organizations that are calling on the police to crack down the hardest. And we see this in Skid Row, you know, that oftentimes these organizations are pairing with the LAPD to turn, you know, an arrest and a trip down to booking into a kind of form of intake into their services, which ends up turning cops into kind of like these intake workers. And so cops begin to equate, you know, tons of arrests with hopefully getting tons of people into services. But, you know, unfortunately, these services don't stick. People who are arrested and brought into services aren't appreciative of this, and they tend not to be sympathetic to services.
Skid Row is surrounded by areas that are gentrifying at a very rapid rate, and there are a lot of people who would like to see the last of it. But it doesn't sound to me as if this is going to put an end to Skid Row.
No, absolutely not. You know, there are millions and millions of dollars in affordable housing organizations and in recovery organizations and in homeless organizations that are building state-of-the-art new facilities every day. So Skid Row might be kind of hemmed in right now, but it's growing vertically. And we're seeing more and more services put in, which also means we're going to see more and more homeless folks and poor folks in the neighborhood.
What about alternatives, particularly in terms of the cost? And what about what's referred to as housing first?
Right. So this is one of the kind of sad parts of this story, which is that there are really great alternatives out there to therapeutic policing, one of them being a housing first. So housing first essentially as a philosophy says, look, the first step in getting people's lives back on track is putting a roof over their heads, getting people comfortable, getting people to feel safe. And from there, we can do wraparound services. And it's proven itself really beneficial, and it's proven itself to be cost-saving. So per year, under our current kind of design of how we deal with homelessness through policing, through emergency rooms, through paramedics, we're spending almost $3,000 per year per homeless individual. So you can think about how many homeless people there are in L.A. We're spending a lot. Now, if we would just turn to housing first and supportive housing, we would take that from about $3,000 per year per person to about $600 per year per person. So these programs, they end up kind of paying for themselves. Unfortunately, the political will and the ideological will isn't quite there yet to begin supporting people, kind of no questions asked, no strings attached. We're still kind of in this antiquated notion that people need to essentially sing for their supper.
Okay. This is a very interesting situation, and once again, elaborated on in the book, Down, Out, and Under Arrest, elaborated at a very interesting degree. Again, Forrest Stewart at the University of Chicago is the author. Thanks a lot for being on our program.
Thank you, Warren.
I'm Warren Olney, and this is Olney in L.A.